Welcome to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm CB Drogi. This week, A Silent Aria by Sean McKendrick. It was a gradual crescendo of something. That part was obvious. The conductor's hands danced with expanding enthusiasm. His face pinched from the effort. He was a small man, or at least appeared so, standing alone in his starched black tuxedo on the enormous stage. His thick lacquered blonde hair shone in the multitude of lights illuminating his movements. Whatever he was sending out, whatever these people around Lin were feeling, it was building up in a slow crescendo, steady and legato. Jason, seated on Lin's left, leaned into the source, toward the lone man on stage. Eyes closed, mouth slack, his breathing was audible in the silence of the concert hall. Lin watched him from the corner of her eye, waiting for some telltale expression. A smile, a tear, maybe a laugh. His forehead creased with upward slants between his eyebrows. Possibly fear? She gave the rest of the audience a quick, surreptitious glance. It did seem to be fear. An elderly woman not far from them cowered with her hand held, palm out in front of her face, unconsciously guarding against the assault on her emotions. This particular movement, according to the program Lynn cupped in her hands, was titled Down the Stairs. Now that settled it. Fear it must be. Lynn closed her eyes and gasped in mock apprehension. When she opened her eyes again, the conductor was hunched over, his white-gloved hands conducting small, precise motions, quick staccato pops of anticipation. That one was always easy to figure out. They all acted as though they were sneaking up on an audience when they sent out anticipation. And it was easy to fake. Lin leaned forward and gripped the arms of her chair. He was building slowly, then easing off, teasing the audience, then doing it again. "Your daughter is different." Again he increased the emotion. Lin sat rigid in case Jason was watching her out of the corner of his eye. Unlikely, seeing how entranced he was, but just in case. Still teasing? Yes. He dropped off suddenly again. Jason sighed, almost moaning. "Different how?"
"She's entirely incapable of receiving suggestion."
"She doesn't know how yet?"
"No, there's... I'm afraid it's more than that. She doesn't have the ability at all."
The audience fidgeted. The suggested uncertainty evidenced itself as clenched jaws and strained postures. "How is that possible?"
"To be perfectly honest, we don't entirely know. There have been an increasing number of cases reported, but we're still learning about the nature and possible cause of the disability."
"This can't be real." Two of the audience members rocked in their seats. Threads of anxiety must be darkening the wave of anticipation.
"Please, there's no reason to panic. Given the appropriate assistance, she's going to live a normal life. Lindsay is not an isolated case. There are schools to help children like her. You'll most likely qualify for enrollment. I'd like to put you in touch with some very special teachers who can better explain what to expect."
"I'm not pulling her out of classes, not now. She's just starting to settle in."
"I understand the hesitation, Ms. Morgan. I know this is a shock, but let's be reasonable."
"I'm not going to allow my child to be branded as a freak." "Reasonable. She's just as good as everyone else."
"Of course she is. No one's saying otherwise, but you can't expect her to follow the standard class structure. Teachers rely heavily on M suggestion for discipline and instruction. She'll be lost in everyday interactions."
Bringing it to a swell, dropping off suddenly in a violent decrescendo of worry and distrust. Half the member were rocking in their seats now.
"What's wrong with me, Mom?"
"Nothing, Linny. Absolutely nothing. Remember that. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't ever let them think that." Someone screamed as the conductor rolled out a crashing wave of panic. With the audience still recovering, he broke immediately into calm suggestion of warm joy. His hands wove the air smoothly, carrying the audience along, washing the emotive suggestions through them.
"I don't understand what he's doing. He's conducting music." "I don't understand, Mommy."
"I know, honey, I know. I'm sorry.
but you need to learn how to pretend. See how these people are acting? If you do what they do, no one will make fun of you. Watch how everyone reacts and try to imagine what they must be feeling. Then try to react the same way. If you can learn how to do that, people will always think you're feeling what they are. You can act that way anywhere.
But why is he doing that with his hands?
Well, a long time ago we didn't have real conductors or real music. We had to use sound to make us feel things. Conductors back then used their hands to show others how to make the sounds. It's a little hard to explain. All that was before we learned how to make the pure form of music, M's suggestion.
Laughter grabbed Lynn's attention. She laughed along with the audience reflexively, before she even knew she was doing it. The conductor grinned and bounced on his toes as he directed. Lynn felt nothing as the waves of empathic suggestion flooded over the audience, washed over her. Energy she could not detect, emotional currents she could not feel. The room was silent except for the laughter, dwindling as the conductor dipped into what was probably melancholy. All Lynn felt was exhaustion. She couldn't find the energy to play along anymore, couldn't pretend.
"I'm going to go."
Jason's face pivoted while his eyes remained riveted on the stage, not quite able to pull himself away from the conductor.
"What do you mean? Why?"
"My head hurts. Sorry. I need to go now."
Jason glanced over, patting the air near her hand.
"Need me to drive you?"
Lynn shook her head.
"No, I'd kind of like to walk."
"Okay. You should stick around for the ending. It's coming pretty soon." She opened her mouth to respond, but Jason was already lost in the empathic energies again. He didn't notice, or at least didn't react, when she got up and walked out of the concert hall. Outside, the air was cool and clear, and Lynn inhaled as much as she could. The tightness around her eyes began to relax as she let the air out in a slow sigh. Heading out in no particular direction, the hem of her new red evening dress whispered against her ankles in the quiet stillness as she walked. A black and white image of the empathic manipulator dressed in his traditional conductor's garb, complete with coattails and white gloves, grinned at her from the window. Lynn rounded a corner and nearly tripped over a small boy sitting with his back against the wall, tapping a plastic jug with a stick. He smiled at her before returning to his drumming, scowling in concentration. Lynn stepped back and watched. He was beating out a simple pattern. Tap, 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 tap. Something stirred in her throat, and Lynn let out a hum, following the tapping. The boy paused, watching her, unsure, but then drummed more aggressively, adding his own hum. The hum in Lynn's throat climbed up into her mouth, and she broke into a song. There were no words, and the simple tune was flat and uneven, but the drummer copied her wordless song, and Lynn closed her eyes, listening to their voices play off one another. His drumming changed, trying out new patterns. She followed his variations, introduced some of her own, sometimes following, sometimes leading. Lynn sang until her throat hurt. The sun faded and the day's last shadows brushed across her face, and still they sang. The drumming stopped. Lynn opened her eyes to find the boy staring at something behind her. She pivoted, one heel rasping a circle on the sidewalk. The only sound to be heard. A small crowd had gathered. Some of them were recognizable from the crowd she left behind earlier, still dressed in their concert attire. Others seemed to have just stopped in the middle of whatever they were doing. More than one person held a grocery bag or a pet leash. Children were sitting high on adults' shoulders. Not one of them moved. Lynn swallowed, aware of the strain on her vocal cords for one moment. The crowd waited. An old man in the front cleared his throat and took a small step forward.
"Please."
His eyes were glistening and his lips trembled as he whispered again,
"Please."
The boy stared at Lynn with his eyebrows raised in a question. She nodded and he resumed drumming. Lynn closed her eyes again, took a deep breath, and sang to the crowd. Thank you. This has been A Silent Aria, written by Sean McKendrick. Thanks for tuning in to Manawaker Studios' Flash Fiction Podcast. Need the perfect voice for your audiobook, documentary, or other project? I'd love to help bring it to life. Follow the tap link in the show notes to get in touch, and let's create something amazing together.